Way to face up, Garth Heckman, David Alliance. We're finishing up our series on submission. This is the second to the end. Make sure you listen to all of it. I think you'll agree. How to make your wife submit. And of course, there's no making about it, but you create the environment. Reach out to me at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com and hang in there. This is part 7.
You would be surprised how quickly you can transform how your wife sees you. Listen to this, gentlemen. You can transform radically how your wife sees you simply by who you begin to hang with. Think of it, if all of a sudden the next month you started hanging out with a crowd that's drinking and smoking and hanging out at bars and coming home late, it would dramatically change how your wife sees you. And just the opposite. You start hanging out with men who want to read more and pray more and do intense prayer sessions and go to the hospital and pray for people and go witness and spend extra time at a Bible study and meet early mornings at George's house in the garage for coffee and prayer, and all of a sudden your wife's going to see you totally different simply by who you hung with. Who you hang with is who you'll hang with, as they say. So you, all of a sudden, you go, okay, I'm pursuing God, I'm journaling, I'm tracking, I'm talking to my wife, and then I change my circle of friends, and all of a sudden something starts to change. One of the biggest things that changed in early on in my relationship with my wife is I started to pray and fast, like, huge. I'd go on these long fasts. She'd literally get nervous. She'd like beg me to eat sometimes, like, please eat. I go, no, I feel like I'm supposed to continue to fast. And I started to pray 20 minutes and then an hour and then 2 hours and 3 hours. But this is the weirdest thing. She grew up abused. And when we would see movies or shows where someone was abused, didn't register her at all. Whatever. And so we'd start to go watch movies in theaters. And there'd be a scene where someone would start to get abused or hurt, and I'd have to get up and run out because I'd start bawling. She'd come out, she goes, what are you doing? I go, I can't watch that. Why not? It hurts me. It's just a movie. I can't watch that happen to that woman. You'd see a couple make love in a movie. I'd get up and run out and start crying. What are you doing? I can't watch that. Why? They're not married. She goes, it's a movie. I don't know. I can't watch it. They're not married. That's not God's design. She'd be floored, like, what's happening to my husband? You know, I mean, all of a sudden we were going to G movies. See, you attract submission by who you become. I'll say something quite bold here. If your wife doesn't submit, it's you, not her. And again, I use that word submission lightly because, again, we all submit one to another. We submit to God. I submit to Jesus. Jesus submits to the Father. Wives submit to us. Kids submit to parents. But the idea of submission is, I'm going to choose what's best for us. And by submitting to you, I'm choosing what's best for us because I believe you want what's best for us because of your walk in your relationship with God. And if your wife has a hard time doing that, yes, she might be injured. Yes, she might be wounded. Yes, there might be scars in her past and problems. But over time, if she still just doesn't want to submit, I would say you have to take a long, hard look in the mirror. And just say, God, make me someone who, I had this thought once, you know, growing up, my sons were, I was their hero. I mean, they would go to my powerlifting meets, see me lift all this weight. They'd go to school the next week, you know, and kids would always call them liars. Your dad can't do that. I saw them, you know, and then they start taking pictures. I was their hero. I love that. Now I'm just old. But I thought, I want to be my wife's hero. But in the sense that she goes, he knows God. He knows God. Many times my wife has said, I told this person you're going to go pray for them. Or I told them that you're going to ask God what they should do. And that to have earned that right. That's what we need in this world. Men who are strong, who will lead with love, who will lead by an example, and who will lead with a foundation of intimacy with Jesus. That's what this world is crying for, dying for, looking for. It's that simple. Submission rests solely, first and foremost, on you as men living for God. I pray that you pursue Jesus with all your heart. With all your heart. I'll close with one last thought. My mom and my dad always had a great relationship. My mom many times would tell my dad, I don't think we're supposed to do this, we're supposed to do that. And it was a great tandem relationship. My dad was always open for insight and thoughts, and he changed his mind in a heartbeat if he felt like my mom was onto something. And when I was 18, my best friend went off to boot camp and he was graduating. I was out of high school, and his dad said, hey, why don't you drive with me down south? We'll go to David's boot camp graduation. It'll be a fun time. It's on me. I went home that night. I'm 18. Got my own job. I'm living at home, but I'm getting ready to go off to college. Hey, I'm going to go with Paul. We're going to go see David's graduation. It's down south. He's going to cover everything. My parents were like, oh, okay. And then a little later that day, my mom said, Dad, I don't want you to go. And they're like, why? She goes, I don't know. I just don't feel like you're supposed to go. I said, Mom, what's the big deal? It'd be 4 days. Drive down there, stay two, drive back. She goes, yeah, I don't want you to go. And I remember walking back to my room going, I'm 18. I'm a man. I'm an adult. Like every 18-year-old thinks. And then I literally walked into my bedroom, and I had this flash of all these times my mom would say, no. We always had this joke, I don't feel it in my heart. She'd say that, I don't feel it in my heart. And I walked back down the hallway, opened up the door, and I said, Mom, is this one of those things you don't feel in your heart? She goes, yeah. I go, okay, I won't go. Submitted to my mom. Paul got in the van that next week, drove down south. It was just a passenger van, just driver's seat, passenger seat, no seats in the back. In an accident where the passenger side was completely tore off the van. He was in the hospital for a few days. If I'd been in the passenger seat, I would have been killed instantly. He calls my parents, because he asked me, you know, a day later, I said, Dad, I can't go. Why not? My mom said she doesn't want me to go. She doesn't feel right about it. He was a follower of Christ. He went to our church and said, okay, whatever. Called my parents from the hospital. Good thing your son listened to you. Good thing you heard from God, or you'd be burying him this week.